taking a measurement. Some suggest that the wave function of probability never actually collapses. Instead, every possible outcome happens in different branches of a constantly splitting multiverse. When you observe a quantum effect, you and the universe effectively divide into all possible results. Just dropping. So what does all this tell scientists so far? Well, it seems to be saying that the macro world is not the basic level of reality. It's the emergent layer created from a weirder foundation. And what's more is that the space-time that we move through could come from huge networks of entangled quantum bits. So quantum mechanics, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as quantum mechanics goes. There's a lot of very, very weird and strange things that are counterintuitive to everyday experiences when you're looking into the quantum world. And this is the H3KX. Ken here, Science and TechNet. If you'd like to join us here this evening, come on in. You have a comment, come on in with that. Then we'll hand in the next one. It's about dark energy and dark matter. It might be changing over time. Dark energy, dark matter. I'll explain a bit more once we get into this one. If you'd like to join us, come on in.
Yeah, Victor Alpha 3 in the Alpha Hotel. It's Alan in Ottawa and listening along just with a check.
Alan, good to hear you, and I'm glad you checked in. And how's the weather in Ottawa there, temperature-wise?
Well, Ken, it's a lovely warm evening here, just out walking the dog on Echolink, and near Andrew Hayden Park. We've got a band playing here in the background, so it's a lovely, slightly humid, but very, very nice evening. Great to be out for a walk and listening along to this wonderful stuff that you're sharing. Back to you, Ken.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Alan. And you and your buddy there, enjoy your walk. Dark energy, dark matter might be changing over time. Now, dark energy and dark matter, they've always been thought to be exclusive of one another. Dark matter is thought to be this invisible matter that's comprising almost all the universe, like the material we see around us, we experience, we interact with. That only takes up about 5% of the universe, the entire universe that we observe. Then there's dark matter that takes up around 27-28% of the universe. So this is the missing matter. It doesn't interact with other matter. You can't do any experiments to detect it. The only way you can detect it is indirectly, at least so far. Dark energy is dropping. Dark energy, you can refer to that as the cosmological constant. This is a force that's causing to expand, not just expand, but it's expanding at an accelerated rate. And so we're learning more and more about the two of these as time goes on. And as I said, at one point they were thinking in terms of the two are very, very independent of each other. Now they're starting to look at it a little bit differently. So just about 68% of the universe it consists of dark energy. And as I mentioned, about 27-28% dark matter, around 5% regular matter. Stopping. So both dark matter and dark energy are not really dark, but they're invisible, and they don't react with baryonic matter, regular matter. Therefore, neither emit light and have not been observed directly. So it's just an easy way to describe the both. Until recently, the two have been considered separate entities, but a less popular idea is that they're possibly intertwined. Back in 2024, the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument, DESI, I'm just going by that acronym going forward here, DESI, found evidence that dark energy strength, the cosmological constant, had lost some constancy. In 2025, another study indicated that dark energy was changing over time. Just dropping. So So that means after reaching a value of maximum 2 billion years ago, dark energy may have begun to weaken. Other results show that earlier on, dark energy could have gotten stronger, referred to as entering a phantom regime. And some recent data shows that dark energy could be receiving influence from dark matter. And a physicist at the University of Pennsylvania investigated that idea back in 2005. And the question is, could there be a form of dark energy whose energy density increased over time, two decades later, and the DESI findings showed that this might actually be happening? Copy again. Another study that was published in January, this past January, in the journal Physical Review D, says that dark matter could have transferred some of its energy to dark energy. Dark matter acts as a brake against the expansion of the universe as it fights against the effects of dark energy. It's dropping. So you can imagine, matter produces gravity. It causes a depression or a curve in space-time, and that curve is what everything else follows around, even light. So it's the fabric of time that gets curved, and it causes a bit of a well on all material, and that tends to follow this bit of a curve. So it's not really a force in itself. It's mainly just a curvature of space-time where everything else follows in. It's like going up and down a road in your neighborhood. You might go up hills and downhill, and you have to follow that the curvature of the road. You have to follow all those curves and variations in the road. So with the dark matter acting as another form of gravity in the universe, so any easing of that, you might say as a brake, could have increased the accelerated expansion of the cosmos. It seems that the idea that computations for dark energy, if you do computation for dark energy as independent from dark matter, that now seems to be heading into maybe various words. I'm thinking it might be incorrect. If you're doing computations for one, you have to take into consideration for the other. They're still just looking at this now. They don't know for absolute certainty. Let's drop it one more time. And if the two actually do interact, it could mean that both have a common origin, and they're referring this as the dark dimension. So string theory suggests that there could be six or more dimensions in addition to our own three spatial dimensions in one of time. The dark dimension might be considerably larger than the microscopic ones of string theory. Gravitons, these are the theoretical particles that give rise to the gravity, might be able to leak into the enlarged dark dimension. So if so, they would attain more mass and become dark gravitons. These then would reside inside the dark dimension, but their effects would be seen in other dimensions as well, letting them play the role ascribed to dark matter. And this would lead to a natural coupling between dark energy and dark matter. It's a lot of theory right now, and there's more and more theories coming about dark energy and dark matter, and this one here about gravitons maybe being, I think they're trying to allude here to the fact that gravitons could be what's considered dark matter. But again, it's all just theory right now, because other than indirect observation, they have really nothing to go on to actually measure dark energy or dark matter. And if you'd like to join us, or you have a comment, come on in. This is VH3KX, Ken here, Science and TechNet, for this Saturday evening from my home location here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Well, this next one, it's Another one's come up, theory, but this one is regarding Earth. It may have seeded Venus with life. And again, this is one of the number of theories out there as to how life evolved on Earth, how it could evolve on other planets. There's a number of ways scientists look at that, panspermia, where the seeds of life could have hitched rides on asteroids and comets and meteorites. So there's a whole host of different ideas that how life may have emerged on Earth. Some of it's along the lines of panspermia, and there's others that are sort of blend of panspermia and others as well. This one here, this is a new study, and this new study emerged, and it suggests that our planet Earth, may have been sending the seeds of life to Venus for billions of years. Just dropping. Asteroid impacts may have launched microbes into space, and some may have survived long enough to find themselves suspended in the atmosphere of Venus. And should future missions to Venus find life in the planet's crust, it likely came from Earth. Now, the same theory applies to Earth here, and the more scientists are looking at Mars, the more indications are that Mars at least had water on it at one point. If you have water, well, if you're looking at the way life formed on Earth here, well, the water's an essential ingredient. So there might have been life on Mars even before there was life on Earth here, and before whatever life was there, probably microbial, might have been something more at some point, who knows. But the same thinking comes from that some impact maybe drove material off Mars, traveled to Earth, and got seeded. Dropping. So when large impacts occur on a planet, the potential exists that material blasted from its surface finds its way into space, possibly carrying microbes. Scientists think this type of transfer between Mars and Earth happened billions of years ago. Bolides, when airburst, spread fragments into a pancake pattern that are referred to as cells. And researchers' calculations show that hundreds of billions of cells may have reached Venus from Earth, and hundreds of billions remain viable. About 100 cells are estimated to get dispersed in Venus's cloud each Earth year. And during the last 1 billion years, about 20 billion cells could have been transferred from Earth. Just dropping. So when they do send some more probes up into Venus, they're going through the atmosphere. They're going to check the composition of the atmosphere and see if any of these seeds of life may still be, or possibly be floating around there. It wasn't too long ago when some of the, at least one essential ingredient for life, they thought may have been produced in the atmosphere of Venus, which is only produced by microbial life. And they've had to do a bit of a rethink on that, so they're not quite sure. Then they reassessed that and thought, well, yes, there's other processes that, geophysical processes that may have accounted for that as well. Just dropping.
Yeah, very great, Mike 6 here at Tango Lima call.
In that station, come on in.
Hello there, this is Mike 6, Sierra Tango Lima. It's Mike number 6, Sierra Tango Lima. Personal Steve, Sierra Tango Echo, Victor Echo calling from the United Kingdom, City of Bristol, QSL.
And yes, thank you for joining us tonight. And we're checking in, or do you have a comment as well?
Repeat the last part, you're over, thank you.
All right, well, thanks for joining. And if you feel like coming in at some point with a comment, you're welcome to do so. This next one here is, before we go any further, any additional stations? This next one here is about a ancient ancestor of ours, Homo naledi, and it was showing something, the fossil record was showing something that they thought only modern humans were doing, but that's now been shown as being false.